Let's go to the Word this morning. Sort of an area I've not gone before in prophecy. Let's look at it. Okay? Right out of the Bible. Something wicked comes. Wow. Sounds terrible, doesn't it? Something wicked is coming. How many in this room today, you thought you'd never see things happen in our country that you're seeing happen today? Oh, I believe that's about 100%. There you go. Are we living in the last days? I don't know. But the bottom line is we know we're closer than we were yesterday. And boy, you just never know. But so much of what people used to say about the Bible and the end time events was kooky and crazy. I'm not hearing that as much now. Amen? How could something over 2,000 years ago be written that sounds like it's you're reading the newspaper almost when you read some of this stuff? You know? A little bit of a language barrier sometimes between the Scripture and us right now. But when you can get it down to plain English, it's like, oh my gosh. It's pretty clear. So let's look at it today. Let's tackle this crazy message today. Babylon. The message of the morning is Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots. Can you just say that because you've never probably said it? We can all say we said it once. Here we go. Come on. Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots. Sounds nasty. God doesn't like this too much. These are God's words, by the way. I didn't come up with Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots. That's God's word. We're going to see that. He didn't want to miss the message. He didn't want us to miss it. I don't like this. Okay? Let's look at it. What is Mystery Babylon? Pretty simple answer right out the gate. It's just that. Say this with me. A what? Mystery. If anybody comes to you and says to you, I know what Mystery Babylon is in the book of Revelation. Many have said it's the Roman Catholic Church. Now this was down for the last couple of 300 years. Because of the Scriptures, because of a lot of things. It would be a religious power. It would be a political power. It would be an economical superpower. Okay? And you can see how some people would come up with that thinking. More and more I read today, people are saying Mystery Babylon, this superpower. Politically, economically, militarily, religiously speaking. Speaks of the United States. So, I mean, if somebody says, I know what Mystery Babylon is, it is a mystery. We don't know what Mystery Babylon is. Now, I could sit on and keep talking like this for 30 minutes, okay? Well, it might be this, it might be that, it might be that. And all of us are going to leave today, you know, not knowing anything, really. And nothing has challenged us personally. I want to look at Mystery Babylon today. We're going to do some history and all that kind of stuff. But I want to look at what can I learn personally? What can I see that God says about this that's bad and it's wrong that can be part of my life? And I want to get clean today. I want to do the right thing. So I want to make it to where I can learn today and grow today. Got it? Say. That's why I came this morning. So I want to get something today. Almost 2,000 years ago, the Apostle John wrote the book of Revelation, received a revelation on this mystery, Mystery Babylon. Let's look at it. Revelation 17. If you have your Bible, Revelation 17. Revelation 18 will also be in Isaiah and the book of Jeremiah. Everything will be on the screen as well. Verse 1. There came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sets upon many waters. Wow! I hate to say this, it sounds like the Jerry Brown campaign. I shouldn't have said that. Sorry about that. If you use that kind of language, you better apologize quickly. Amen? Come on. Oh no, this isn't some political campaign saying it. This is God saying this. Y'all listening? With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. The inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman set upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon, the Great, the Mother of Harlots, and Abomination of the Earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. That's incredible scripture, isn't it? I mean, it's like something out of a movie. You know? It is shocking. Let's look. Listen to two Old Testament prophets. What they had to say about Babylon, and I believe the future of Mystery Babylon. Isaiah, come down, sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon, sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal, uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is His name, the Holy One of Israel. Very strong language as well. Judgment from God is coming. That's what He's saying. Jeremiah 50, verse 22. A sound of battle is in the land and of great destruction. How is the hammer of the whole earth cut asunder and broken? How is Babylon become a desolation among the nations? Have I lost you so far? Pretty much. Y'all are like, hello. It's like going to Busch Gardens. Just hang on, baby. Grab that seat. Amen. Here we go. You can see why people don't talk about this, right? You have nobody at your church. Let's keep looking. Mystery Babylon. Let's talk about it. Out of 22 chapters, say that with me. Out of 22 chapters, one more time. Out of 22 chapters in the book of Revelation, this mystery is a major player in chapters 14, 16, 17, and 18. So this book on end time events, the book of Revelation, 22 chapters and four of them has to do with Mystery Babylon? Yeah. It must be important, right? It's important that we try to personally understand this mystery today. What is God telling the church in the book of Revelation over and over and over and over to the seven churches in the book of Revelation that are mentioned? It says, He that hath a what? Ear, let him what? Hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We should hear today what the Spirit is saying to the church. Through this message, we need to listen. If it's that important to God that it would be mentioned that many times in the book of Revelation, then it should be very important to us. Amen? So if you're dismissing me right now and you're like, hey, talking crazy talk. Alright, God's the one that wrote this stuff. It's hard to unpackage it. It is hard to talk about it. It's hard to put it in a message, but we're going to do our best today. It's your obligation to set up, pinch yourself, slap yourself, then slap somebody next to you. Amen. Here we go. Come on. Ready? Babylon. Let's take a little walk down through history, but not that long. For sure, it's a biblical city. Okay? Babylon was a biblical city and was an empire for years. This city dominated the world politically, economically, militarily. So that's just part of history. Let's look at the roots of Babylon. It goes way back to a strange chapter in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 11. And you'll remember it as the Tower of what? Babel. Babylon. Babel. Goes way back to Genesis chapter 11. It's after the flood. And the whole earth was of one language, of one speech. You ever wondered how everybody talks all these different languages? Where'd that come from? Well, if you read your Bible, you'll find out. Now, you can argue with the Bible, call it a lie, say that's not how it all happened, and come up with some other kooky idea, but this is what the Bible says. Look at it. Everybody was of one language, one speech. It came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, Go, let us make brick. Let us burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime for mortar. And they said, Go to, let us build us a city and a tower. Say the next part with me. Whose top may reach unto heaven. Keep going. let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they all have one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, God speaking, let us go down and confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. And the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called what? Babel. Because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the earth. So how do we get different languages in the earth today? Now you can believe what somebody else says, or you can say, you know what? That's God's word, and I don't understand it, but that's what He says. That's how He did it. You know what? That's how we got them. That's how I read my Bible and believe my Bible. You can call me a nut if you want to. But that same Bible tells me God loves me and gave His Son Jesus to me. I'm going to trust the Word. That's me. Okay? So after the flood, men sought to build a tower that reached to heaven. Man's going to make a name for himself. Man's going to get him some glory. And God put an end to this humanistic view of religion. I hope you're learning something. This is old Babylon and the way Babylon started, but I hope you're getting some clues about maybe what is mystery Babylon. Okay? So what do? He simply scrambled the language in the building. Guess what? Stop. That's pretty much the way it is with God. You know, hello, I don't like that. And you know, that's how it is with you when it comes to you going to heaven. Well, I'm a good person. God goes, eh. Well, I went to church. Well, I believed in Jesus. Ding, 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 ding. Come on in. Amen? It is a narrow way. But He's God. He can have a narrow way. So that's what He did. That's how the languages were confounded. That's the beginning roots of Babylon. But Babylon wasn't finished. Babylon became a tremendous powerhouse and ruled the world, basically. And let's take a quick glimpse. I'm going to look at two areas so we don't get too confused. We're going to look at Babylon's effect on the Jewish people, and we're going to look at mystery Babylon's effect on Christian people. Got it? So let's look first of all at the literal Babylon that affected the Jewish people. Babylon destroyed the temple in Jerusalem in 586 B.C. Who can remember who was the king? What was his name? Who'd you say? Did you say Nebuchadnezzar? Okay, that's correct. All right, and remember they brought slaves away. Who can remember? He wanted some of the fancy ones. Bring me some of the fancy ones that are real smart. Who can remember a couple of the slaves? Maybe one of them's name. What was it? Daniel. He had some buddies. What were their names? They got changed to what? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's true. You see what I'm saying? So that's what happened. Babylon conquered Jerusalem, carried away the children of Israel into captivity and slavery or bondage and defilement. Can you say those two words with me? Bondage and defilement. They put them in bondage and they defiled the Jewish people. Keep looking. Now, this captivity lasted for 70 years. And that's what some of your Bible, a good bit of your Bible is about, the captivity and about the people coming back into the land as you read your Old Testament. However, listen to me. This captivity and dispersion from the land of Israel, it really continued for about 2,500 years. What do I mean? When you take a people away from their land, you destroy their land, and all of a sudden you can go back into the land 70 years later. Does everybody go back? Yes or no? No. Okay? And it's very difficult. And the enemy's there. You can read the book of Ezra, Nehemiah. Read different things like that and you can check it out. Okay? Very difficult. So for 2,500 years, much of Israel, you know, they weren't back in the land. There was no official nation of Israel until 1948. When Israel became a nation. Are you telling me this Babylonian captivity was way back here and it just maybe sort of maybe ended in a way in our lifetime? could these be the last days? I mean, a lot of people believe that this was a very big sign of the last days when the nation of Israel came back into their land. How many have heard that before? Many, many, many times. I'm not sure. From 1948 to 51, about 700,000 Jews came back into the land of Israel. And much of that dispersion, there had not been anything happen like that since they were taken captive back in 586. Some say that the Babylonian captivity really ended when? In our what? Lifetime. That's an incredible thought. You're telling me all that way back there in the Bible that somehow I am living and I'm sort of a part of it today? You start to think of your Bible like that, it's pretty crazy, isn't it? Hang in here with me. So did I lose you so far on that? You all right? Okay. Now, let's look at Babylon's effect on Christians. Mystery Babylon. God's the one that chose the word. He could have called it anything. He calls it Mystery Babylon. And I want to learn today, and this is, I'm putting some thoughts in here of mine, but I'm trying to do my best and see what we can come up with, but also a lot of help that I've had researching. Let's look. Babylon is far more than a city or a place of Jewish exile. When you read in your book, in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, Mystery Babylon, it's far more than just a city or a place or a government or a country somewhere or the Jews being in exile. There's something more to it than that. What is Mystery Babylon? Here is one thing I think is for sure. Mystery Babylon, can you say this with me? Is a code word for spiritual bondage and defilement. You got to get this down. We got to say it a couple of times. Why are you talking about this, Pastor? You drive me crazy. I know I am. You ought to see me in my office this week going nuts, all right? Mystery Babylon is a code word for spiritual bondage and defilement. Did Babylon literally take the Jews into bondage and defilement? Yes or no? Yes. Then Mystery Babylon is a code word for spiritual bondage and defilement. And I think that's why it sickens God. Much of us today, we're in church. Churches in the world today, churches in the United States, all over the place. We're going to church, but so much of it is in bondage. So much of what's going on in the name of religion today stinks to the breath of God, to the nostrils of God. Do you agree with that? Yes or no? Say, contrary to the Bible. Where are you getting that from? Well, I don't know. We just thought we'd do it, so we're doing it. You know what I'm saying? We'll make up all kinds of new things. You know, and it's from the Catholic Church to all kinds of things they say, and then inventing a place called purgatory, and then, by in 1870, something we'll call the Pope infallible. Where did that come from, men? But from churches that are fundamental, like Baptist churches that teach, if you don't use but one version of the Bible, the King James Version of the Bible, that's the one I still use. I like that version of the Bible. But for me to somehow say that's the only authorized version of the Bible, and you use something else, you're evil and it's not right, same kind of rulemaking, yes or no, say. Or you got to dress a certain way. You got to look this way, cut your hair this way, act this way. Oh my gosh, if you don't go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, well, you're surely not a child of God or you're not a real spiritual person. Where do we come up with all this stuff? You're listening. A lot of junk going on. Bondage. Defilement. Mystery Babylon is a code word for spiritual bondage and defilement. And that's the angle I'm going to hit today. Let's keep going. For sure, Mystery Babylon is about, say that with me, religious harlotry and abomination to God. One more time. Mystery Babylon is about religious harlotry and abomination to God. How do I know that? Let's put the scripture up. And upon her head was written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of, and abomination. So I know that Mystery Babylon is about religion, dressed up pretty. But it's a harlot. Okay? And it's an abomination to God. I know that. I can see that. And by the way, I've lived it. I've seen it. How many have seen it? You've lived it. You've smelled it. You see it around you. Go home today. I even hate to tell you to do this. Go home, cut on Christian TV. And just turn it on with your Bible. And just see how much of what they say is what's in this book. Okay? Religion's been hijacked. A little ugly message. But this is what's going to happen in the last days. Pretty spooky. Six symptoms of mystery Babylon. I believe the church in the last days, and that puts us in it, folks, we're a sick church. We need to get better. Can you say that with me? We need to get better. Better. Come on. We need to get better. So many of us, we're sick of Washington, sick of the stuff going on, sick of the spending, sick of a lot of stuff going on. A lot of us feel that way. I know that. But how many of us are sick about what's going on in the church? Amen? Have you seen So Goes the Country is So How the Church Is Gone? Say. Yes or no? Yeah. So let's look at it today. Instead of pitching stones this way and that way, let's just work on us in this building today. Amen? Help us, God. Help us. If this makes you sick, and this is a sign of the church in the last days, then we want to get better. We don't want to be like that. We don't want you calling Fellowship Church Mystery Babylon of Inglewood. I don't want that. I don't want my name. I don't want to live my life like that and be associated with something like that. Why would I want to do that? It's crazy. All right? We don't want to do that, God. So let's work on it. Here we go. We're going to look at Mystery Babylon. We're going to see some of the things that's wrong. And we're going to use that as a code word for spiritual bondage and defilement and see how we can get a little bit better. Y'all all right so far? Come on. Here we go. Number one, how can you know if Mystery Babylon is present in your life, in your church, in you? You're the church. Number one, say it with me. Pride. Goes right back to Genesis. What did they say at the Tower of Babel? Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Say that with me. And let us make us a name. It's a sign of mystery Babylon. Jeremiah 50, verse 29. Call together the archers against Babylon. You that bend the bow, camp against it round about. Let none thereof escape. Recompense her according to her work. According to all that she hath done, do unto her, for she hath been what? Proud against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. Jeremiah 50:31, behold, I am against you, O thou most what? Proud, says the Lord God of hosts, for the day is come, the time that I will visit you. Revelation 18:7, back to Mystery Babylon. How much she hath what? Glorified herself and lived how? Deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she says in her heart, I sit a queen. I'm no widow. And she shall see no sorrow. So the number one thing on this list, sickness, symptom of Mystery Babylon, is pride. Now look how in contrast that is to Jesus. Philippians. But Jesus, He made Himself of no what? Reputation. He took upon Him the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. So what's a sign of Mystery Babylon? Pride. Let's say it this way. Much of the church today is about selfishness and making a name for ourselves. Can you say that? Much of the church today is about selfishness and making a name for ourselves. Can we just be honest and do some math here? Would you all wake up with me? Help me though. Can we do a little math? How many, and can we just be brutally honest? How many you've gone to church before to either please somebody or to impress somebody? Can I see your hand? How many Have you ever gone to church before and you went really for the wrong reason? Can I see your hand? Do you see how that we can be guilty of this, church? Yes or no? Wanting people to think good of us. Maybe to get a business deal. You know, whatever. Okay? Going to church ain't about making a name for yourself. Amen? Going to church is about glorifying the name of Jesus Christ. Going to church is to worship Him. Going to church is to hit the floor and say, I'm wrong, you're right, help me. Amen? That's what going to church is about. When church becomes something other than that, then there's that code word. Spiritual bondage and what? Defilement. If we're not going to church and truly worshiping God and doing it because we care about Him, want to glorify His name, God says, you're not my true church. And He says it like this. Oh, I hate this word. You're a whore. That's what He says in His Word. That's why I keep the King James. I'm sorry. We understand it, don't we, say? Bang, right upside the head. Sometimes even our Bibles, honestly, have been written to make us feel better about ourselves. Amen? I need the Bible to show me who I really am. And I need God to help me in my life. It's about me worshiping Him. Amen? I need to not think so much better about me, but better about Him. And when I do that, my whole life starts to change. Amen? Here we go. I knew it was going to be ugly. Second one. And you might say, I don't do that one. I don't do the Dollar Tree one. See? Well, hang on. Give me a second. Jeremiah 50:38, a drought is upon her waters. They shall be dried up, for it is the land of graven images, and they are mad upon their idols. Or they're mad about their idols. Mystery Babylon, the church in the last days. That's the angle I'm looking at. It will be a place that's worshiping customs, preferences, people. Uh-oh. We in trouble, ain't we? Much of the church today is not immune to idol worship, worshiping idols. Look, we're guilty of worshiping Hollywood stars, politicians. Oh yeah, we put bread up there too, buddy. And even television preachers. Are we guilty of that, church? Yes or no? I was so depressed, I couldn't wish Brett Favre happy birthday last Sunday morning because there's rumors out there he's screwing around with some woman somewhere up in New York. And my wife is having breakfast with me on Monday, and it ticks me off because I like the Minnesota Vikings. So anyway, we're having breakfast, and my wife looks at me, and she said, I said, honey, I couldn't even wish him happy birthday yesterday. And she looks at me, and she says, what do you expect? She said this, he's not a pastor. You don't even know if it's solid in his Christian faith. And she hit me right between the eyes. I'm guilty of idolizing people. God calls that wrong. So I just determined, I ain't giving up the game of football. I love football. Okay? But I'm just going to remember, I watch Brett Favre because he plays football. I ain't going to get my cues from him on how to be a good husband or father or something. Amen? Say. Y'all listening to me? I don't know if things are true or not, but people idolize Tiger Woods and all this kind of... You hear what I'm saying? But let's just don't blame it on sports heroes. Politicians. Preachers. And man, if I put preachers, I could probably have a screen of 500 across America that have screwed up people. Are y'all hearing me today? Don't worship, especially preachers. Amen? Are y'all listening? Okay, and I'm not talking about just going out and having, an affair with some woman. I mean, that's horrible. But I mean, so many popular preachers today, to be popular, they don't preach the Word. They're not saying the truth. They're adding to the Word. And we're worshiping that, and we're buying their stuff. Have you lost your mind? Sorry. Hello? Is this ugly or what? I guess I could make you just feel good about the church in the last days. Y'all doing great. Number three, covetousness. Uh-oh. You think in the church in the last days might have a little problem with covetousness? Say, O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in treasures, your end is come, the measure of your covetousness, standing afar off. Revelation 18, Mystery Babylon. For the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buys their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, thyine wood, manner of vessels of ivory, all manner of vessels of precious wood, and of brass, and iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and odors, and ointments, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, and fine flour, wheat, and beast, and sheep, and horses. Can you say this last part with me? And chariots, and the souls of men. Covetousness. Most of those things that were just on that screen, most of those things, those items that were mentioned, were used in sacrifices to the Lord. But now, in the last day, they're used to buy the souls of men. Y'all with me? Hang on. Shh. Hush now. 2 Peter 2:3, And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of who? You. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbers not. A symptom of Mystery Babylon, the church in the last days. Much of the church today is about covetousness. Say it with me. And what? It's what? Sickening. Anytime some man or woman gets on television and tells you God told them to a certain number and you're supposed to give that number, and they tell you if you'll give $100 for 12 months, God will give you your blessing. Liar! Can you say that with me? Liar! It's not from the Word of God. I don't care. Many of you have sent your money in. Oh, I got my blessing, though. Mystery Babylon. Are y'all listening or not? You want to stay dumb? That's a dumb thing to do. Some woman on TV or a man going to tell you to send so much money, and if I do that, I'm going to get my blessing. Are y'all hearing me? It's not a popular message. That's why when people come in here from churches like that that teach that, they usually go right back out the door. But some start to go, you know what? I had some recently come to me and say, you know what? I thought something was wrong with me. I thought I was the problem. Until I can show them in the Word of God, this ain't in there. I don't know what you're talking about. Come on. It's getting worse. Number four, sorcery. Here we go. Isaiah 47, 12 through 14. Stand now with thy enchantments, with thy multitude of sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be thou mayest prevail. That's hard reading. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the month the prognosticator, stand up and save thee from these strange things that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it. Strong words. Revelation 18, Mystery Babylon. For the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy what? Sorceries were all the nations what? The cool thing today is to be able to say, you know, basically about all religions, that they'll lead you to God. Did you know about 99% of all religion will lead you to hell? Say. Yeah. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Let's talk about sorcery a minute. Sorcery, this is a great definition I found. Sorcery can be described as, say it with me, getting your spiritual instructions from anywhere other than God and His holy word. Come on, one more time. Pop it up. Sorcery can be described as, help me now, getting your spiritual instructions from anywhere other than God and His holy word. So often we think sorcery is, I'm going to go worship, you got somebody worshiping the devil, that ain't me. So we sit there in our pride. Listen to me. Pop it up. Keep rolling. 1 Timothy 6. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to your trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of what? Science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Keep looking. Sorcery. Much of the church today, would you see this with me? Say it with me. Look at it. Much of the church today is saying things, teaching things, and believing things that are not found in the Word of God. That's sorcery. Okay? When you hear somebody and they say something, and they say, God told me, and God said, and you can't back that up in the Bible, my friend, that's not good stuff. Y'all listening or not? Might make you feel better. Might get some bucks in your pocket. But that's not right. When we get our spiritual understanding from anywhere other than God and His holy word, there's a problem. You think the church today, that we have a problem with that today, church? We got to talk to God. We got to say, God help. We got to repent. Listen, you can call it what you want, but if it's not of God, it's not of who? Of God. And then pop this last little statement up I put up. So many in the church today read everything but what? The Bible. You read the paper every day. Read the Bible every day. No, I don't understand it. No, you do. You just get your spiritual understanding from the newspaper. Okay? Tough talk. Keep looking. Adultery. And you're here today going, oh, I got that one. I ain't committed adultery. Woo! I'm going to miss that one. Hang on. Come on. We need help, church. Upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots, and an abomination of the earth. Ephesians 5, very interesting scripture. I popped it up for because it just goes to the church and Jesus and the bride, and He's the bridegroom. Let's look at it. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify it, cleanse it, with the washing of the water by the what? Word! That He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall they be joined together unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. Say this with me, verse 32. This is a great what? There's our word again. But I speak of who? Christ and His church. So when we put up the last, this one on adultery, it's spiritual adultery. That's why God says, Mystery Babylon, mother of harlots. That's why He uses that kind of language. He looks at us who call ourselves Christian or in the name of religion, we're saying we believe in God. But He looks at it as, you know, you're not part of me. You understand? You're like a hired woman or somebody down the street. Or a gigolo or something. Excuse me. You can tell I don't know what I'm talking about. Here we go. Good, I don't want to know. What is adultery? Say that with me. Adultery is what? It's mixing it up. It's not clean. It's dirty. It causes spots, blemishes, and wrinkles. Okay? If the church is committing spiritual adultery, that's what it'll do. If you don't believe adultery will do that, try it in your marriage and see if it don't cause some problems. Okay, you listening to me? Adultery not only mixes it up, adultery does what? Weakens. That's what it means. It never strengthens. Ever. You're not going to go out and have an affair and go, yeah, I went and had an affair, made my marriage better. But we do that in church. We think we can do things other than what the Word teaches and I'll be okay. God says, that's mystery Babylon. Much of the church today has taken truth and mixed it up and weakened the power and the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. To attract a crowd, to get more money, I don't know what we've done. But by doing the different things we're doing, the message of Jesus Christ suffers. You hearing me today? Number six, murder. What? Remember, Mystery Babylon's a code word for spiritual bondage and defilement. Murder? And I saw the woman, Mystery Babylon, drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. People who love God have been killed down through the centuries. Amen? Hunted down like dogs, burned at the stake. My own mother, I believe, my stepdad shot her 6 times. I believe it was because of her faith in Jesus that my stepdad murdered my mother. Shamefully, much of the murdering done down through the centuries was done in the name of what? You know, I could have put Islam and all kinds of other religions up there. But you know, this is a message to the church today. We're guilty. And you might say, but that was then, that's not now. I ain't killed nobody. Well, let's see how we kill today. James 3:6. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defiles the whole body. It sets on fire the course of nature. It's set on fire of hell. The tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil full of what? Deadly. Therewith bless we God, even the Father. And therewith curse we men, who are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. You think the church might have a little problem with that these last days? Yes or no? Say. Much of the church today assassinates through the power of the tongue. Many are hateful and mean-spirited, but dress it up in Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. You can quote me on that. Some of the meanest people on the planet reside in churches. It ain't happening here. Y'all hear me out. Y'all listen to me, yes or no? Do I have enough here that don't want that kind of mess here at church? Can I see some hands? We don't want that here at this church. Say, if you want to be mean, have at it. Go somewhere else. Let me be the mean one. All right? Me preaching up here is mean enough. Amen? Do you know how much you must have to love people to get them here to hear something like this? And you've got to love them when I get done because they're going to be running. Here we go. Come on! The tongue. I hope you remember that next time you say something about a brother or sister in the body of Christ. Boy, they told us, right, if you can't say something good, don't say what? Nothing at all. Well, Christians, we just break that rule and we spiritualize it up and we mystery Babylon it and dress it up in a pretty dress and God goes, you know what? That's acting like a hmm. Amen? Come on. We're almost done. I knew it was going to be long. Roger, I'm just going to have to get you to just help me with my main points, but let's look at this one. There's one straightforward command concerning Mystery Babylon. You might say, Pastor, how can I deal with all this? It's too much. How can we deal with this? What does God say? He says this right here. Come out of her. Come out of her. That's what He says. He said, if you in any way, shape, or form are not acting in purity in the church of God, the church of Jesus Christ, if somehow, some way you've got it all muddled up, mixed up, messed up, all that kind of mess, stop it! Come out of that mess! That's what He said. That's His command. Read it. Here we go. Pop it up. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, say it with me, my people, that you are not partakers of her sins, and that you do not receive of her plagues. So what should I do, preacher? Come out of her. Okay? Stop that crap. Amen? And I want to close with this. When you come out of something, you need to go into something. What do I mean? It's not just enough for me to say to you today, stop it. Okay? Stop that. Don't do that. Don't be a part of that. You need to be doing something else. There needs to be an aggressiveness on your part. And I just put this analogy up on the screen for you today, and I'm going to be closing soon. There's more message. You have to go to the web and get it. But don't get caught in no man's land. Here's what I mean by that. How many played tennis here a good bit in your life? Okay? All right? Here's what I mean. This is the out-of-bounds line. Mystery Babylon is out-of-bounds, church. The list that we listed up there, the things that we said, that's out-of-bounds for the church. Any of those things I said, that ought not be part of the church. That is what? It's what? It's out-of-bounds. Don't dress it up anymore. No. That's out-of-bounds. That's God hates that. God calls that harlotry. No. That's out-of-bounds. All right, stop it. But don't get caught in no man's land. This is what this area on the tennis court is. If you play tennis, you know this. I always call it no man's land. You do not want to be standing right here in the middle when somebody's serving the ball. Because that ball will come fast at your feet and you just ain't got time to react. You know what I'm talking about? Yes or no? Okay? So we gotta get aggressive. We gotta get up to the net. And I'm not talking about service now. I'm just talking about don't get caught in here. Don't get caught in here. Church, we need to get from the out of bounds and we need to get up here to the net. Because the Bible says, return to the Lord. Return to the Lord, my people. Amen? That's what they call this in a tennis game. Is that correct? They call it a what? A return. Amen? So, the church, we need to return to the Lord. We need to be aggressive. We need to be at the net. And I've got several main points. I won't be able to put up the scriptures. Can you show me the main points? Here they go. Boom! One more time. Return the ball. Boom! One more time. Here we go. Boom! Stop being content with being out here. One more time, Rod. Boom! I want to let's return that ball real quick. Here we go. How can I do this? And Roger, I'm going to have to depend on you. Return, say it with me, to the one true God and His only Son, Jesus Christ. Can y'all slam it home with me? Come on, one more time. Return to the one true God and His only Son, Jesus Christ. Y'all listening, say. Quit playing with the out of bounds mess. Well, all religions lead to heaven. Listen, friend, you need to... Amen? I'm not talking about being violent. I'm just talking about your own life. Do you have that nailed home? Say, Jesus is my Savior. I believe in Him and nobody else. I got that down pat. I know Him. Have you drove that sucker home? Say, got it? Here we go. Number two. Say it with me. Return to the only true, pure Word of God, the Bible. Got it? Say, well, I read all these other books. What about what this guy wrote? What about the Book of Mormon? Wrong. What about Jehovah's Witness? Wrong. What about the Koran? Wrong. What about the Bible? Right. Got it? Yes or no? If we're going to be a pure church. Number three. Return, say it with me, to holiness. Holiness. Purity. Your actions do matter. Well, nobody saw me. God does. Holiness. All kinds of scriptures are just about out of time. Number four, return to God's authority over your... Well, I know the Bible says that, but out of bounds. If the Bible says it, then guess what? Got it? Yes or no? I don't want to be Mystery Babylon. Next, return to what? Righteousness. Do right regardless. Can you say that with me? Do right regardless. How about one more time? Do right regardless. Righteousness, doing the right thing. Drive it home. Slam it. It's going to take some aggression. Mystery Babylon, the mother of... You think we want to have much to do with it, yes or no? No, no, no. What's the one command in the Bible that's so clear? There's just one big strong command. It says this. What does it say? Come out of her. Don't get caught in what? It's not going to fly, friend. If you're back here and out of bounds and you start to get up here, it won't be long before you're going to be back here again. You got to charge the net. Amen? Return to the one true God and His only Son, Jesus Christ. That is the remedy to combat Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots. Amen? Let's thank the Lord for His Word today. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I receive that today. I need it. And I am not talking up here as one that, man, I am out of bounds so often, it ain't even funny. This message hammered me in my office. Let's stand together. Come on. Thank you much for listening. If you can hang in here with me the last few minutes, we'd like to pray and let this message sink in a little. Father, thank You for being good to us. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, that You tell it to us straight. You love us. I don't know why we don't get it. We talk straight to our children when we're trying to raise them because we love them. But somehow, God, when we hear You say it, Satan takes that somehow and makes it like we're getting picked on. Or it comes across as it doesn't really matter. I can do what I want. And we miss that You are not against us. You love us. But You don't want us in the out of bounds. You don't want us to suffer the plagues that comes from this kind of thing. And You don't want us to miss heaven. Thank You for loving us. I pray this message will find good ground in our heart. I pray that all of us will renew our commitment to the one true God and His only Son, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray.